When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, yes, yes. Podcasts are back in fashion. Hello, it's me, Lou Sanders, with another episode of your favourite podcast, Cuddle Club. I've been sitting on one bum cheek the last hour, and I don't know why I didn't spread out the love to the other one. But, you know, that's me. And how are you? How are you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, cool. This week I'm talking to Celeste Ring. She is from Lazy Susan Sketch Group, but she's also in like The Windsors and loads of acting stuff. She's a phenomenal actor, actually. She's very funny. She's a really good improviser. I love her. She's a safe pair of hands socially and professionally. Can you imagine that? And I need to be more engaging in this front bit of the podcast. I'm trying to be more engaging, but the point is, you've caught me googling Lazy Susan, so I can tell you when their thing's on at the end. And then Lazy Susan comes up on Etsy, and then of course I remember a Lazy Susan is a thing that spins around. Well, Celeste Ring is going to spin you around with her talking. Well, it's bye for Ben and it's hello to Celeste.
Hello. Are we recording now? Is this all going to go in?
Yeah, I think we just go for it. It could go in, so be aware, you know, yeah. Be on your guard in case I ask any hard-hitting questions early doors, you know?
I'm in the squat position. I'm ready. Yeah.
Lovely jumper, lovely girl. What do you say to that?
I say thank you very much. Oh. I think you're very well, I mean, these are things that the listeners can't appreciate, but you're very well coordinated with your background, because your background's a bit mint green, isn't it? And you're in a sort of plum number.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on, aren't you? If you want to do a self-tape, you just come around and pop yourself in front of my walls and then you can change the background.
Do you know I got a job from doing a self-tape with you?
Did you?
You were very good, yeah.
In Edinburgh?
Yeah, we did it in Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah.
And you were quite good because you were very calm, but also quite firm. So when I wanted to do it for the sixth time, you were like, You've done what you're going to do, and there's no more now.
You'll send that off and you'll stop wasting my time. And I'd never get any self-tapes that I send off for. Anything to say on that?
Shocked. Very surprised. Yeah. I thought if anyone would be breaking through, it would be Sanders.
Well, I'd sometimes put on wacky voices. I give them a little bit extra, you know?
Bit of the old self-sabotage. Yeah.
Oh, what do you think? You think you want one character, but looky here, you've got another.
And that wasn't quite the Succession world, was it, that voice?
That wasn't quite. Oh, can you imagine being in Succession? I'd love it, but I'd feel so intimidated.
I'm drooling at the thought of it. You say that, but I think when the more money, actually, there's more pressure, but also it's harder to go wrong because they've got like three cameras and you can probably do a million takes. So you've got so much more buffer than if you're in like a low budget British comedy where it's like two takes and you're gone.
Yeah, but I don't think they want the tea lady to do 16 takes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Six cameras on the tea lady, please. She's going to come in again with the tea.
Look, I just want them to know when they do inevitably listen to this podcast, when Jesse Armstrong tunes in to Cuddle Club, I want him to know that I'm ready.
Yeah, do you know what? You are, because I saw you film your BBC... Are we saying three?
I think so, yeah.
Your BBC Three sketch series. No pilot here. Well, there was a pilot, and then yeah. It was a series. But I saw you do that, and the level of professionalism from you. I was asleep under the table. Anna kept eating the props.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I kept eating the props for it to me off?
Did she? I miss that.
No, but fair enough. The thing is, we were a bit hungry, weren't we?
Yeah, and that's the thing. On BBC Three, if there's five olives scripted on the table, that's all you're going to get. There's no backup olives.
Well, you get one olive by the time
I've
finished
your take.
There's not
an olive guy. You know, on Succession, they've got an olive team.
Yeah. So I was eating the olives and then I fell asleep under the table. Mm-hmm. You, on the other hand, other end of the spectrum, very professional.
Absolute trooper. Wasted on you lot. I felt.
Well, no, I really appreciated it. And I thought next time, when I wake myself from my olive slumber, next time. Actually, I didn't want to say that I was unprofessional because I did really respect the day, but they needed me to be dead when I was asleep. So it actually was quite fitting.
I would say that all that happened is you got about 3 hours sleep. You did a very good job. And then there was a bit where you were laying on the ground dead and you fell asleep for 2 minutes. Yeah.
Let it be known we can both play our parts in Succession. Can you do American accent though?
Yes.
Go on.
Not very good, but hey, my name's Celeste. I'm the new lead in Succession.
Wow. Plot twist.
The Roy family. Take to me, and I'm the one. He says to me, I'm the one.
That's really good, yeah.
And it's a very realistic storyline, I think, that just sort of someone not in the family is just going to sweep in and get the lead part.
Well, are we saying that you're writing it and starring in it then?
Yeah, let's round it up, shall we? Yeah. Come on, let's give him the full package, Lou.
Let's not waste any more of your time. You've got a BBC Three series. She's writing it and she's in it. Oh, forget about it. Forget about it. So, yeah, we can all do American. Okay. Well, this is a podcast you can take to work in a way. Eric, all this time you've been talking and we could have been hugging. How do you feel about podcasts? Because I'd love to know.
Well, I mean, this feels like a loaded question because I'm on one. I'm actually I don't listen to many, but it's not out of any disdain for the medium. It's purely that I'm very bad at concentrating on more than one thing at once.
Yeah.
And people say podcasts are sort of the soundtrack to their lives, and I cannot make a cup of tea and take in anything that's being said. I'll miss it because I'll be like, oh, I'm boiling the kettle, I'm putting the right amount of water, and now it won't have gone in at all. And then I find I have to skip them back and back. So I'd have to literally sit in a sort of quite dark room and just listen to a podcast, and that feels very... The pressure then feels too much. There's probably no podcast that could. But I have listened to some, but it tends to be like story series, or like I'll try and listen to a news one in a quite a worthy way and, you know, try and compensate for the last sort of 15 years of not really being clued up enough on anything in sort of one 20-minute podcast where, you know, you have to Google everything that they're saying and you're like, ah.
Yeah. Okay, it's time for the quickfire round. Punch and Judy or Richard and Judy?
Richard and Judy.
Greek or chic?
Greek.
Would you rather find a chicken in your egg or an egg in your leg?
Egg in my leg. Ugh.
Would you?
No, but I'm panicking. I'm doing the quick, but no fire.
So you'd rather find an egg in your leg than a chicken in your egg. Have you ever found a chicken in your egg?
No, have you?
Yeah. I wouldn't eat an egg again, but there's sometimes a little baby fetuses.
Oh.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun question, but, you know, I'm leaving the listener with something.
That's classic Sanders. It's all fun and games until you dig a bit deeper and...
There's something to think about, a.k.a. boycott eggs, you know?
Yeah.
Have you seen Simon Amstel's programme? It was about veganism, but he did it in quite a fun way.
No, shall we move on?
Yeah, okay. Who upset you last? Or if you don't want to answer that, you can answer who you upset last.
Probably my mum, both ways. Probably I upset her, she upset me.
Why?
Not in a terrible way, but she's probably the person I'm most comfortable losing my temper with. So I notice that I do maybe a bit more with her than I would with anyone else. But she came to stay at the weekend and she's just the doziest woman. And I love her to pieces, but you can't... Anyway, I'm turning into my dad, but I'll literally be like, wait there, I will come back and find you. And I'll come back and she'll be, I don't know, looking through the racks or what. She'll be gone and I'll be like, Mum, I said wait there. And she'll be like, oh, okay. And then you'll walk away and you turn around, she's evaporated again. It's very difficult to keep track of, but I notice I'm more irritable because she's my mother.
Yeah, of course.
And probably she finds me very impatient.
Have you ever hit her?
Why? What she said?
Yeah,
think
we had
decidedly.
To We had her on last week and she got
a lot of funny, to be fair. Yeah.
Do you want to be in a bubble with me, a cuddle bubble?
Are you affectionate in the right hands?
Yes.
Are you? Aw.
You sound surprised.
Who's the right hands?
It's a good question. I mean, obviously my boyfriend. But generally anyone that seems sort of like comfortable in their own skin, obviously I will relax.
Yeah.
And if they're not, or they're looking to me to lead that, then I probably won't. You know what I mean?
Don't look to me to lead it. What about when we went out for dinner and you said, and I was a bit jittery that day.
Oh God, I'm going to forget what I said. Did I say something bad?
No, I feel very safe with you, actually. I trust you, which in comedy is quite big. It is big, isn't it?
It's massive, yeah.
I'm doing a snake movement. There's a few snakes.
But also it's the culture of it to be kind of, well, I think that's changing actually, but it depends on what sort of comedy you do. But I think obviously you do stand-up. I think particularly, I feel like the clowning community, it's probably, or I assume it's very supportive. I hope there's not a bunch of clowns seething at each other, you know, not laughing at each other's surreal, you know, chicken and egg bits, for example, eggs and legs and such. Yeah. But I feel like stand-up, the culture is, and also to not be too enthusiastic or too keen or, you know, and quick-wittedness, which can feel quite pressurising. It's a bit panel-y, isn't it, to always have a comeback.
But at dinner you said, are you right, Lou? I was a bit jittery and you said, what word did you use? And I thought, oh yeah, I really am. Like I was on edge somehow.
I said, you're acting crazy, Lou!
I can't remember why I brought that up anyway, but I don't know. They'll probably edit that out. I don't know.
Cuddle club.
I think that's enough. Touch quiz. Who am I thinking about, or what am I thinking about touching right now?
Your boyfriend.
No. Lovely answer, though. No. Oh, you've only got 5 questions. We won't count the boyfriend one.
Is it person or an object?
It's a person, yeah. Dead.
Said with full eye contact there, straight down.
Yeah,
dead.
I'm just checking to see whether they are dead, actually.
Okay, so it's got, are they a singer or musician?
Yeah, they are, actually. That was very good, actually, because they absolutely are. They're old, if not dead.
God, if they listen to this, that might finish them off, though.
They're actually alive. That's embarrassing. They are 93, though, so you can see my point.
Who's 93? Am I going to definitely know them, or is it some obscure...
You will know. Double alliteration. B-B. I can't help you any more than that.
B-B.
And that's just because you've got a lovely jumper on. I softened.
I need the jumper again. Come on, just tell me. I can't bear it.
It's Burt Bacharach.
I wouldn't have got that. I do know who that is, and I don't think I would have got that.
Can you remember being a baby?
No.
Can you not?
No, and I actually don't remember swathes of my childhood as well.
Oh, like, that's trauma.
Is it? No.
I think so. I think it's trauma, yeah.
What a mistake in a maker.
I think
what
it's
a way to
trauma.
Find out.
Yeah, I do actually think it's trauma. In your case, certainly.
Buggery do. I was going to say bugger me, and I thought, I don't know, I can't.
I don't think that's the way out for you.
No.
A way out for trauma. Oh, yeah, go on, tell us this one. Are you good at chatting people up?
No, terrible, awful.
Are you really?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a boyfriend for so long that...
You did have a break, we all remember that.
We did have a break and I largely squandered it. I was quite sad in the break. Mm. I think I didn't really know what I wanted, but I think I generally, back in the day when I used to be able to, you know, talk freely, and I think even when we were on a break, I was still sort of, my head was still there, or I wasn't really pursuing anyone. But so when I was actually in a position to do that, I was very young, and that's when you're like at uni and you're basically friends with everyone, and then stuff might happen. There's no sort of, I don't know, meeting someone in a bar or whatever. It's all just sort of things tumble out of the friendship group. But I think I would consistently walk away from situations where the person I was not interested in at all would have got all the signals from me.
Oh,
and
no.
Be like, I'm in there.
Oh, no.
And whoever I fancied would be like, I don't even know if she knows my name.
Right.
And I would be that level of like, just completely unable to put myself out there.
Yeah.
But I think that would be different now. Say me and my boyfriend were to break up, I think I'd be a lot more gung-ho.
Happy days.
Bugger me.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you good at chatting people up? I think that phrase is old-fashioned. It's a bit confusing, isn't it? Because I think when you're really flirting with someone, or when you really like someone, when you fancy them, I think, to me, a sure tell of that is you're able to break out of those roles a bit, and you don't feel like you're being gamed or chatted up. You just feel like there's a connection. And so actually, really, when you like someone, it should be that it's not slotting into that format, but rather that it's that you're really listening to them. And I think that's always the thing, isn't it, when you're to convey interest, or when you're like, I like someone, is often you feel like you want to listen to them, and you feel like they really listen to you. And that's it, I think.
Yeah. Well, looks like I fancy you now, because I'm listening. No, I am not good if I really fancy someone, but I have gone over and given someone my number and stuff like that. So I'm quite bold if I'm really desperate, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you get a lovely amount of creeps after your show, don't you?
Oh, boy. Yes. I mean, we haven't performed live for a while, though, so that hasn't happened. I think we have had, you know, one quite scary guy that kept coming in, but he was going around a lot of women comedians as well.
Yeah, don't flatter yourself, love.
Also, this is a hilarious thing where he was clearly more obsessed with Freya. And I was kind of like, okay. And I thought that was quite funny, and I wanted to write about it, but we never did another show. But I thought it'd be quite funny to be jealous that someone has a stalker.
Yeah.
It's sort of quite, it reveals something quite ugly. But no, you get creep. And then you also just get people who aren't creepy, but I think there's obviously an imbalance, and, you know, it's hilarious that I'm even talking about this like I'm super successful. You know, it's not like we do big shows or anything like that, but even if you're just the person that's been on stage, and even if you've bombed, there's a power imbalance there of whoever's coming up to you that has to be rebalanced, I think, if you're going to get on an equal, on a sexy equal footing, you know. Yeah. Otherwise, you don't want, like, a sort of Labrador just, like, there salivating, waiting for you to say the next thing.
Oh, I do.
I feel a bit suffocated by that.
No, but I don't really. Yeah, I did have a stalker, but he wasn't a very good one years ago, and unfortunately he's dead now, God rest his soul.
Oh, gosh. Oh, dear.
Yeah, I didn't do it, but, no, he's a very troubled man, you know. I did sort of feel for him, but not when he was stalking me.
I don't think I knew about that. I'm sorry that
it was so long ago, and it wasn't, like, an extreme case, but it was just like once or twice, but when it happened it was quite scary. But then he went on to do it to a girl who was completely different from me, short blonde hair, tiny, and I thought, well, pick a type.
And that's when you lost respect for him.
No, but, you know, God bless everyone. But,
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
To be all groovy, but have you heard of the movies? Anyway, best screen on the best on-screen cuddle.
Well, I was thinking about this, and I've got quite poor recall for films, which is not a great thing to wheel out as an excuse. But I was thinking that you know, a cuddle, unless it's a hug goodbye. Oh, and this is the thing, you distinguishing between hugs and cuddles. Because for me, a cuddle is like longer, it's, you know, we're bedding in for a bit, whereas a hug might be, you know, more fleeting or more emotionally charged. But one thing I was thinking about, and it's not really a cuddle, but have you seen, I got quite obsessed with the film Foxcatcher for a while. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, man, I got obsessed with it. I watched it on the plane to Melbourne, actually. You know, you can get in quite a weird headspace on long-haul flights, and I sort of drank a bit too much at the start of the flight and then watched Foxcatcher, which is a kind of very bleak, kind of unrelenting film about wrestlers. It's a true story about these two brothers who are wrestlers and this billionaire from the DuPont family, which is a really rich family in America, kind of starts to come between them because he wants his own wrestling team and he sort of plucks one of them away. And the brotherly dynamic sort of gets a bit broken. And anyway, but what I really liked about the affection in it is obviously there's a lot of toxic masculinity in it, or, you know, I don't know if that phrase would have even been used at that time, but there's a lot of sort of men who can't talk about how they feel and kind of going through it. But the wrestling warm-up is almost like these kind of bear hugs. So they sort of, him and his brother, the first shot of the film, I think, is him and his brother warming up, and they kind of rub each other's shoulders and kind of paw each other, and he stretches them out, but it's all kind of holding each other, really. It's all sort of touch.
Oh, wow.
And it's this weird line between, like, it's affectionate, but it's also, like, it then becomes aggressive. And the older brother is Mark Ruffalo, who's such a kind of, he's very all-American, comforting man, basically. And the younger brother's Channing Tatum. And because the younger brother wants to prove himself, he often pushes the affection of the older brother away. But Mark Ruffalo's character just always knows when to step in. And he just kind of puts his hand around the back of his head and then pulls him in. And he's always a little bit resistant, but then he kind of often softens because it's what he needs. But I just thought it did.
Wow.
It showed really well the way men need, like, sport or football or something to get that touch and that contact. Yeah. So I thought that did kind of, it's not really cuddles. It's not soft enough to be cuddling, but.
No, it's fascinating.
But yeah, it's a great film. It's awful, but I think it's like perfectly structured. It's so great, but don't watch it alone.
No, wrestling films are always so bleak.
Yeah.
Mind you, I watched one, was it a film or was it a documentary? It was a documentary in the end, about a female wrestler. It was great. And she was married to this guy who tried to kill her. And then she put him away for life. He was like psychopath, obviously. She put him away for life and then said, yeah, I'm actually gay anyway, and married a lovely woman and sort of lived happily ever after.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, so actually it wasn't as bleak in the end. It was bleak until that point.
Go on, take us back then.
History.
The past.
Memories.
When stuff was cheaper, then.
Woolworths.
Coffee wasn't as good.
Instant coffee. Is it the war? It's not the war, is it? Was your family quite affectionate? Or were they a nice family? Like, why are you doing comedy? I guess the subtext is there. It's got to be, hasn't it?
Yeah. You know, Lou, you don't get to where I am in my career being hugged too much as a child. Let me tell you. No, I think my family, I'm very lucky. They're very loving in lots of ways. Are they dysfunctional? Yes. And I think I was probably, like most kids, you know, it's got to be nearly all kids, hugged a lot more as a little kid, and then probably as I got a bit older, they didn't, you know, they don't quite know what to do with you or how to. And some of that's class and generational as well. You know, our parents would have just been a lot less expressive than probably we would be now, because that's just the culture. So I would say I got enough, particularly as a little kid. I think probably I was the only girl as well at the time, so I think I was probably, you know, drowning in affection and all that. But I think when I wasn't a little cute thing anymore, it was a bit like, oh, what do we do with this sort of moody, you know, and I had acne and I was just quite sort of grumpy.
Do you think you'd get more cuddles if you weren't as ugly?
Yes, I do. Although it's a funny thing, actually, because I did have really bad skin, or I had acne from, I don't know, maybe 13.
Yeah, same.
Till quite old, really, till my 20s. And by the time I really got on sorting it out, it wasn't bad enough to go on any sort of medication anymore. But I do look back and think, oh, I should have sort of pushed for that.
Yeah.
You know, I remember telling my mum about it and she was kind of like, oh, it's not so bad. And then, you know, I did go to the doctor once and they prescribed me something useless and I kind of never went back. But actually, I think I had it all on my face, but also on my chest and on my back. And even things like staying at people's houses, I never wanted to do it because I never wanted to take my makeup off and anyone's, you know, so I sort of sneaked to the bathroom, take it off. But I think it did make me less comfortable with touch because I did want to keep a distance because I was self-conscious of my skin, which maybe sounds a bit much, but I think that was probably my experience.
I totally get that. It's so horrible when you got something on your face and then... Ugh, yeah, I had all that as well. And then I got Roaccutane and it did get rid of it. But
it's quite extreme though, Roaccutane. I wanted to go on that by the end, but I'd kind of missed the peak window of it and it wasn't quite worth it. But I wish I'd pushed harder for it because it did kind of... I let it dominate a bit too much, actually, and there were other things going on. But I think I would have benefited from, you know, not being ravaged by acne. Because other things, you think there's an upshot, even if you think you're... You know, we're very conditioned to worship being thin and stuff, and you think that's awful. But I think at least people find curves sexy.
Yeah.
Whereas acne, there's no like, hey, work it. You can own that. You know, they're not putting acne on the Dove campaigns, being like, I own it. You know,
they tried to make spots fashionable once. You know, like, and they try and just have a laugh with fashion sometimes and try and bring things in. And they tried to like make spots sexy. I remember it about 20 years ago or something. Just it didn't really last very long. It didn't really take off. But but at least we got to work on our personality and stuff because we sort of had to a bit.
Yeah. Got that very sharp.
Have you had any like weird interactions, worst or best?
A really sort of good one that I had that was also quite weird was when I was doing this country.
Mm.
And if you don't know, it's like, I think it was on BBC Three, but I think it was on BBC Two. People know it, don't they?
Yeah, people know it. If you don't know that, then it's goodbye from me.
We can't help you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But so even though I'm only in that series for about 2 minutes, they still invited me to these acting workshops that were to help everyone improvise, basically. So some of the cast went to this village in the Cotswolds, which is where it's filmed, and we did these acting workshops in this kind of, I think, community hall.
Yeah.
And me and Michael Sleggs, who played Slugs, he's really sadly passed away now. And I think that's probably why I think of it, because it sort of sharpens your image of someone, doesn't it, when they pass away. But he and I don't think it ever got used. I don't think it was in the show. I can't remember. But we went to this Grease night and played this really shy girl who dresses up as Sandy when she's had her transformation. So, you know, a shy girl that's dressed more sexily than she can handle. But we had to do the slow dance. And so they said, can you just kind of hold each other and dance for ages? And at first I was like, oh, no, you know, because it's kind of awkward. And, and so we had to kind of just embrace each other and slow dance, and they didn't yell cut for ages, and you know, you're thinking, are we supposed to pull away, or are they, what's going on, have they broken for lunch, what's happening? And so initially I felt awkward, but then after a beat I just sort of relaxed, and he was a great hug. He was really warm. Aww. And you could tell that he wasn't sort of resisting, or you know, when you can feel the other actor pushing you away a little bit, or trying to assert some sort of boundary to be like, and he just wasn't like that at all. He was so it started off very weird, but then it kind of went to a place where I was like, oh, this is actually fine and quite nice. And I don't think they ever used it, but I think it felt like a genuine moment, and we felt like a sort of, you know, for a second, a kind of an actual couple or whatever. It felt quite convincing, and I was like, oh, that's quite, that's sort of weird to good.
Weird to good is nice. Never had a weird to good, actually, on this.
It often doesn't go that way.
You've got to relax into it, I suppose. That's lovely, actually.
Mm. Well, they were saying, so the workshop leader was saying she does that a lot with actors, is this thing called hug to connect, and she makes... And I think it's before intimacy scenes, but it can be before any kind of scene. And she'll just get the actors to hug for like 30 seconds or a minute.
Wow.
The idea being that, I mean, it sounds so pretentious, but I think it probably does work, because if anything, it's a bit like probably the start of, I don't know, anything for focus, meditation, yoga, where you pause, you end up listening to your breath, you can hear someone else's heartbeat and your own, you settle, and then you stop trying to do so much, you know, you just kind of calm down a bit. But she does it with actors, hug to connect. I don't know.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That is weird, because I guess your heart is your heart to heart, really. So that regulates the breathing and everything. And then also if you're spiritual, as I am, I guess that's like your heart chakra is one of the big ones, isn't it? It's one of the biggies.
Yeah. Sorry, I've heard spiritual and I'm out.
I closed down. I shut down. Yeah, I shut down. Well, no, because I went to this LA improv workshop where they used shaman techniques and you stare in each other's eyes of strangers. You would not believe. There was an artist that did it as well. An artist that just was sat at a table and people could come up and just stare at her for 5 minutes or something. And she'd stare back and it's like you're looking into someone's soul. Once you lose the kind of embarrassment and all of that, it brings up mad stuff. People were crying, shouting. I think I have talked about this because one man shouted, "I want a baby son." And you have to sort of think, okay, I'll be respectful to that and not laugh. But, you know, it's quite intense, you know. Obviously I laughed, but, you know, then I wished him well.
Yeah, and, you know, so the balance was redressed. That is my big fear, doing, like, a workshop or something like that where you're really vulnerable. It's like, everyone's like, there's no wrong answers, there's nothing too weird, but then someone does say something that everyone goes, oh, that's a bit weird.
There's no wrong answers, nothing's too weird. Apart from Michael, you're going to have to take yourself out of the room, okay?
We're cuddling up, we're cuddling down, we're cuddling all around.
Okay, this is the bit where it's the cuddle calculator. So they just put all your data in and then it just comes up with your cuddle type. Yeah?
And so you're inputting that data now. What data do you put in?
Just the chat we've had.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and then it just comes up with your type. So are you excited about being truly seen?
I am. Should I do a drum roll?
Yeah. Okay, cuddle calculator says you are papier-mâché. Look, you are very satisfying, but you have to put the work in. Papier-mâché takes time, girl. Investment springs to mind. Yeah, that's papier-mâché.
Does that mean I have to put in the time, or someone has to put in the time with me?
Someone has to put in the time with you, I think.
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate. Unless I've had a few, and then it's very quick, then it's very easy.
Yeah. You have to put the time in or the drinks in.
Yeah.
But look, you're very satisfying. But look, you have to put the work in. It's quite a good rhyme. Pepe Mache takes time, girl. Investment springs to mind, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. It's good stuff, really, when
Do you think they paid someone to sort of liven that up a bit? So someone's been paid money to just put in girl and yeah, just to make it pop a bit more, make it speak to...
Yeah, the young ones and stuff. Yeah, my demographic is sort of 20 to 60.
Yeah. Mine, what would mine be?
Perverts.
Yeah. I'm a pervert magnet. What can I say?
I feel honoured. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
So that was Celeste Ring from Lazy Susan. I'm glad I did that podcast because she's reminded me she's moved to North London. Stalker, shut your ears. So this is great for me. And do check out their new TV series on BBC Three in January. You can follow Lazy Susan online. You can follow... Celeste isn't online herself, but Lazy Susan are. You can follow at Cuddle Club Pod online on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow me at Lou Sanders because I'm going to tell you about my tour. If you go to my Twitter, it's like the pinned tweet, but if you go to my website, you can get tickets for the United Kingdom tour. Oh, that sounds lovely. So I'll see you there. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.